So in the book, we're on page 14. On page 15, sorry. And on here, we are on the... on the second paragraph on page 7. But in the book, it's on page... we're on page 15. So we started last week to discuss the difference between the alchemist and a Baal HaBitochen. So who is the alchemist? So the alchemist that he's describing here is a person who knows how to take cheap materials. He can take wood or anything else in the world, and he could turn it into silver. And also he could turn silver into gold, which is obviously talking about the most extreme form of AI-generated business model.
Jewish.
Very good. However, the idea is that every single job title, every type of job, really matches the same sorts of issues as this alchemist runs into. So the alchemist is the extreme, but we'll see in each of them how regular jobs the same thing applies to. And the idea isn't that a person shouldn't do regular jobs. A person should do a job. A person should use their tools to do work for the world, because Hashem needs us. I mean, not needs us, but Hashem put us here so that we can play a role in the continuation of the world. We each only play a very, very short role in it, but the role is vital, and we are meant to work. However, it's talking here when he's relying on his work, meaning this person that's turning silver into gold, he's, you know, if you ask him, you know, how are you living such a, you know, such a nice, comfortable life, he's going to say, it's because I know how to turn silver into gold, meaning that he's relying on his abilities of turning silver into gold as the reason why he has what he has, whilst the Baal HaBitochen can be doing the exact same work, but he doesn't look at his sustenance as coming through the work. He looks at, the work is one of the things I have to do. The sustenance itself is coming straight from God's hand. So we'll just go over this, because a few faces weren't here last week. So we'll just start again. I think we'll go back to page 14. We'll start again from where the alchemist is introduced. If a person has bitachon, then he has 10 things, 10 ways that he is better off than the alchemist. Tachilosam. The first one is Shabal ho alchemia sarach ledvarim meyuchadim lamlacha lo yugma lo yidava zulosam velo yimsayim b'chol esav v'chol makom. First of all, the alchemist, he needs to have a specific set of tools to be able to do what he does, to be able to turn the silver into gold. He needs to have a particular set of tools, and if he doesn't have any of the tools, then he is not able to do his work. Which means that if he goes somewhere where these tools are not available, then he doesn't have any money, and he's worried.
Like a laptop.
Huh?
Like a laptop, you don't have a laptop.
Yeah. So for someone who works in the laptop, if you are relying on your laptop as being the source of your money, then if your laptop breaks, you don't have any money coming in. Whilst if you're relying on the fact that the money comes from Hashem, and the laptop is just one of the jobs that I need to do, but Hashem is giving it to me regardless of whether I use it or not, then as he goes on to say, v'habiteach b'adikim tarapay muvtach lo mikol siba misibas ha'olam.
You're saying get a cloud.
Huh?
You're saying it's got a cloud.
Basically. Oh, very good. Yeah, that's the idea. That's the difference between Ruchnia and Gashmia. That Ruchnia is from the word Ruach. Mm-hmm. Ruach is wind. You know the wind is there. You can see what the wind is doing. You can see the trees moving, but you don't see the wind. Gashmia is from Geshem, which is the physical thing that you can see. So it's just very interesting how the world now, the internet, you know, started off all as physical things, all as things that you can see, and now most of it is above, like you say, clouds and all these other things. That's just an interesting thing. V'habiteach b'adikim tarpe muvtach lo mikol sibim sibis ha'olam k'mo yishama hakosav l'man hoidiach lo ki lo elechen v'ad yichye adam ki al kol meitza pi Hashem yichye ha'adam. Whereas the person who trusts in God has his sustenance guaranteed from any means available in the world. As the verse says regarding the man that the Jews ate in the desert, so that he would make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by whatever comes from the mouth of the Lord does man live. Meaning that even though we have to eat bread because our hishtadlut to be able to, that our physical bodies can carry on processing, is that we have to put food into them because food gives our bodies energy. However, we have to realize that it's not the bread itself giving us life, it's Hashem deciding that we have life. The reason why he decided that we have life is because we have done what we are physically capable of, which is eating the bread, and now he decides. But sometimes we could eat the bread, and we are all going to get to one day, whenever it's going to be, hopefully very, very, very very far away, but we are going to get to one day where we're going to wake up in the morning and we're going to be able to eat bread, and that bread itself might not be able to sustain us through the day because we are only here for a limited amount of time. So he's saying that the alchemist has to have his specific tools, and if he doesn't, then he's basically helpless. He doesn't have any money. He won't be able to have his needs. Whilst Eibotech Berikim, anywhere that he is, Hashem can use any of the means available in the world to supply him what he needs. As we know with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he went into the cave, Hashem made a stream next to him, and Hashem also planted a carob tree there, because Hashem is capable of rearranging nature however he pleases, and he does it in order to make sure that everyone gets what they need. So he goes on, in the desert, the Jews were not sustained by God in the usual way, through consumption of regular food. Instead, he sustained them by providing them manna, which fell freely from heaven. This illustrates that God is not limited to the natural order. Rather, he can provide for us in any matter he wishes. As it also continues, ki hasibos einon nivtaris mimena b'chol esav b'chol makam. For no means of providing sustenance is lacking from God at any time, any place. So we went through the story last week, just very quickly, that Eliyahu HaNavi had said something to King Achav, and he then had to go and hide because he was scared that King Achav was going to kill him. And it says that Hashem sent ravens who went to King Achav's palace, and he was in the middle of serving all these gorgeous meats, and these ravens picked up the whole massive meat, like the meat platters, and flew with them to where Eliyahu HaNavi was. And the other story,
back then, it's Walt.
Yeah, literally. Walt, as in, like, that's where Harry Potter got it from, you know, like the owl, the owl taking letters. So it's just interesting. Ravens are known that they don't really care about their own kids. As in, raven chicks have to fend for themselves. They're the only bird species that don't provide anything, even at the beginning. The ravens feed them, which is why it's like an interesting thing. I noticed on the beach this week, we put out some crumbs for the birds, and all the pigeons that come, they come and they sit around there eating. The raven, they come, one swoop, and they fly off, because they're not there to share, they're not there to look after anyone. So the fact that Hashem used ravens, Hashem was showing that even the ravens, when I tell them what to do, the ravens do it for me. And then there was also the story with that Eliyahu HaNavi woke up, and there was in a different story, and there was cold baked cake and a flask of water next to him. Then there's another story that brings here Udva Oivadio im Hanavim Shaoma Vahbi Minavia Shem Meo Ish Khamisham Khamisham Ish Bamara Vahalka Lechem Vamayim Vama Kafir Marsh of Rave Vadash Sham Yaksha Khaltaiv Vama Yuros Sham Kadeshav Kiain Machsa Li Rail. So the story of Ovadiahu is that the queen was trying to kill all the Nevi'im. And Ovadia went and hid 100 of them, and he was given the means then to be able to provide these 100 Nevi'im with bread and water so that they were able to survive. And then it brings the pesukim that we say at the end of Birkat HaMazon. Kafir Rasha Varev of Darsh Hashem Layakhtu Chol Tov. Young lions suffer want and are hungry, but those who seek the Lord do not lack any good. And Yeroz Hashem Kadoshav Kemach Salir Reyav, fear the Lord, His Holy Ones, for there is no lack for those who fear Him. So basically, Hashem guarantees that He will give to everyone that is close with Him. And the way of being close with Him is by feeling Him with you at all times. It's Hashem is always with us, but we are only called a Yureyav if we feel that He is with us, which is like an emotional feeling, as we explained at the beginning, that believing, in the first week we explained that believing in Hashem is an intellectual thing. Believing that there's a God, it's an idea that sits in our brain. Getting into our heart, feeling that Hashem is in every moment, feeling that Hashem is inside everything, that is what would make someone called a Yureyav, where you are close with Hashem and therefore fear Him and therefore do what He says, but also realize that He is involved in everything. So that's the first way that the alchemist and the Baal Bitachon juxtapose. Vehasheni, the second manner in which a person has Bitachon is superior to an alchemist. Kibal hakimia sarech lemasim ve lemelachos lo yishlam lechefsoi zulasam ve efsha she yimsuhu reicham ve ashanam im hasmaras ha'avodah v'arech ha'yigia bohem laila v'yomam. The alchemist needs to perform certain actions and procedures in order to produce the silver and gold and cannot reach his goal without them. Additionally, it is possible that the fumes and the smoke that he inhales will cause him to die as a result of his working continuously and spending long amounts of time toiling with them day and night. So basically, besides the fact that he needs to have a particular set of tools, it's also a very time-consuming thing. He could have to spend many, many, many hours doing it. And it also says that the effects of the actual work, the fumes that are coming out, can kill him. Now, when the first time I read this, I thought, it's just giving an example for the alchemist. But really, every single job, there's people in every office building in the world who look like they're about to die from the fumes of their work. There's people that have lots of heart attacks when they suddenly hear something happening in work, meaning that when you're completely invested in this being the source of everything, then your whole kishkas go into it and you can lose track of everything else going on around. And that's what it means when he says that, that you might die from the fumes and the smoke. It means that you might be stuck. You might be stuck in this job thinking that you need to do everything for yourself, and this is the only way of getting it. And you might be stuck in there till at the last days of your life. You always plan to retire, and the retirement age comes, and you're worried that maybe in 15 years from now, I'm going to suddenly be back to bread and water. So I need to do another day. I need to work more, and you end up going, yeah, and you end up going till you are dying from the smoke and the fumes.
It's not just the materials, this is like there's a certain action you need to do in your job. So you almost like sell your soul to the action. You say, if only I could do the action better, I could do better training and I could do better. And even some of the actions that you do put yourself in danger. So you're putting all your hope of your wealth and your success of the task on your capability of doing the action. Rather than again looking for Hashem, who actually is the one who's the provider. Okay,
Harishon who sarich dafka kelim. The second one needs to go through processes. Okay, zman. Ken. Vehabitach ba el vitcha mehapigoyim beliboy batuach mimsay harayz. Vechol asher yovayenu meis ha'alekem yielay lesosin lasimcha v'tarpe ba elav b'menucha v'hashkeit v'shalva. K'mo yishakasov b'nesdesh yaviseni al me'menuchas yinaleini. Whilst on the flip side of this, someone who relies on God is secure from any mishaps in the present and also feels secure that no bad will happen to him in the future. This is because he believes that anything that happens to him is from God and will therefore be a cause of joy and happiness. His sustenance will come to him in a restful, calm, and peaceful manner. Like it says in the Pasuk, "Binos eshi abiseini almei menuchos yinaleini," he causes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. So the first week, we mentioned the story of Nachum Ishkamzu. It actually brings it here in the footnotes. I just want to read it out. It's the last footnote on page 16, which leads on to page 17, about Nachum Ishkamzu. So it says that with the Baal B'Tochen, it will be a cause. He realizes that anything that happens to him is a reason for joy and happiness because he realizes that it's coming from God. So he says that the Pat Lechem explains that it is natural and easily observable that bad befalls even people who have bitachon. Nonetheless, because this person trusts that everything God does is for the good, he is able to accept whatever comes his way joyfully. Furthermore, and perhaps in a more advanced level of trust, the person who trusts in God is constantly happy because he knows that a challenging situation merely seems like a difficult situation, but inherently it is good. The Talmud relates a story of Nachum Ishkamzu who always reacted to misfortune with unyielding optimism, saying that everything God does is for the good. Gamzu l'tova. Even when something did not appear to be good or even seem bad, Nachum would say, this too is for the good. To the extent that people soon began calling him Nachum Ishkamzu. Nachum was once sent to the Roman emperor on behalf of the Jewish people to try to persuade him to be kinder to the Jews. He brought along a box filled with golden diamonds as a gift for the emperor. On the way, he stopped at an inn. Seeing the great treasures, the innkeeper stole the content of the box and swapped them with sand and soil. The following morning, Nachum continued his journey, not knowing of the innkeeper's actions. When he finally reached Rome, Nachum presented himself to the emperor and handed him the box as a gift from the Jewish people. The box was found to contain nothing but sand and soil. The emperor, furiously thinking that the Jews were mocking him, sentenced him to death. Nachum was not dismayed, and even at that point, what I said in the introduction, is that at this stage in the story, you've got to be crazy to say, it doesn't make any sense. You're standing in front of the most powerful... Okay. Hasipo Rich Nachamishkamzuhu Halach la Caesar. Kisa?
Kisa.
As Hayabayam Yodim Vayodim Natnula Nahum Kufsa Shal Zahav Nchoshet Diamonds Hakol. The who alach bederech le malon, the bala malon who rides there, the who lakachet akol, the who malet a kufsa im mud, im soil, im adama, ken, im adama. As Nachum who higia la ephemerim, kisa, le kisa, who higia la, who higia la kisa, the him potchim is there, the him roim et adama. Hakisa who he's angry. And he says, kill him. ונחום אמר, בדיוק באותו זמן, גם זו לטובה. איך? איך יכול להיות שגם זו לטובה? המלך, הקיזה, כבר אמר, יאללה. לילה טוב, ש... כן. You're being killed, and that's it. Like, how can you be there and say, גם זו לטובה? However, he was someone, נחום היה איש, שהשם שלו היה נחום איש גם זו. למה? אז כל פעם שמשהו קרה, הוא אמר, גם זו לטובה. וגם פה הוא אמר. אחר זה, the Gemara carries on, שאחר זה, אליהו הנביא then appeared, אליהו הנביא הגיע לחדר עם, איפה שהם היו, והוא היה dressed like a soldier. כן, הוא היה כמו אחד מהחיילים של, של הקייזר, והוא אמר, שמעתי פעם שבאברהם אבינו היה אדמה, והוא והוא זרק את האדמה, וזה נהפך ל... It turned into arrows. חץ השחור, כן? And the king... So it says in the Gemara that the king at the time had had like one battlefront that he was really struggling with. The king sent this out to the front of the battlefront, they threw the mud, and it turned into arrows. Beautiful. So that is a story. So it goes on here, the last two paragraphs, he brings a slightly deeper insight into the story. Now, this is based, it's Likutei Sichas, so it's an idea that came from one of the Rabbi Rebbes. I'm not sure, I think Likutei Sichas is the last one, but it may have been the one before that, the Friedrich Rebbe. But he says, a deeper appreciation of the story. The emperor already had many precious gems, so such a gift might not have accomplished its intended goal. Only the sand, which looked like a disastrous twist of fate, was truly a precious and unique gift for him. Therefore, the man who trusts God believes that no matter how dire things appear, they are inherently good and truly the best way to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. Yeah, so he just adds in an idea here. He says, and I think this is really an insight into what Nachum Ishgamzu was thinking then at the time, meaning that we know the second part of the story, yeah? But like with any story, when you're going through the story, once you've seen the last chapter, the story doesn't sound like as exciting. So let's say the story would have ended there. How can someone stand in front of the most powerful person in the world with a box of mud, that's a gift, and say to him, Gamzul Tava. So he says here that the deep idea is that he said that maybe it could be that had he turned up with a whole box of gems, the emperor would have said, you're giving me money?
That's it.
I've got all the money in the world. I don't need money from you. You're bringing me diamonds? You think I need diamonds from the Jews? And I've got absolutely everything. Which means that the situation that he thought he was getting himself into could have actually been very, very, very detrimental. And he believed that because he knew that Gamzul was bad. He knew that Hashem only does good. So he knew that if the mud was being taken away, there was a very good reason. How did he get onto the thought process? So it could be that because, like Rabbi Nachman says, that all the middos that we have in Pirkei Avos that we need to use with our friends or family, spouses, etc., really, we're only meant to use them in those instances to kind of test ourselves for how we're meant to use them when we are relating to God, because God is infinite. So having a relationship with infinity will feel very one-sided. You can never know if you're giving enough. So one of the main pieces of Rabbi Nachman is the idea of donakaf zechus, that a person needs to always find the positive inside of everything. Now really, if you practice this on the people around you in regular situations, it becomes much easier to be in a situation where something negative happens to you, and you're able to be, so to speak, donakaf zechus to Hashem, that, you know, that maybe, you know, I was stuck in traffic, maybe I was meant to be in a car crash, maybe had I got to the destination 5 minutes early, there was a truck coming out who was going to go flying into me. Meaning you could come up with any sort of donakaf zechus story, and that will help you in the actual situation to say gamzul tova, because when you've come up with a story and you go with the story, then it's much easier. So I think that's what the Rabbi Trevor here, you know, is trying to say by pointing out the other side. What would have happened had the story not gone this way? Had he actually had a diamond, maybe it actually wouldn't have been enough for him. We'll do one more. Vahashlishi, the third manner in which a person who I'd be talking is superior to the alchemist. Kibal hakimia eina mamin al soide zulasoi meirosoi al nafshoi. The alchemist is secretive towards others out of concern for himself. So he says at the bottom that essentially the alchemists were counterfeiters. So they feared the government finding out about them. So which means that everything that they were doing, they had to do it on like the down low. No businessman ever, you know, is ever comfortable sharing his secrets of how he did things and how he runs this and how he runs that.
You're doing the show. Because if you want to do those things, yep. Whilst trusting, it's a derived strength that is, it's more than spiritual. It's a combined spiritual has its power.
This is the alchemist.
Yeah. I just don't know where this work comes. Where is this origin? Because alchemist, I mean, how old is this?
This was written 1,000 years ago in Aramaic, and was translated, I think, 150 years later.
The words are used then, alchemist?
Yeah, as in alchemist was essentially just like a doctor. But this is saying this is a special alchemist who didn't just mix potions; he would turn silver into gold. But it, again, the alchemist is just a moshel. Give me the name of any other role in the business world, and all of these same things would apply. Because in the business world, the natural instinct is that your skills and your job and your boss and your this and your that—that's where the money's coming from. That's where you're spending most of your time, and that's where the money's coming from. But really, that is separate to the fact that the money's coming in. The money's coming in either way. We just have to do something back for Hashem. And like I say, these sorts of points do get spoken about much more in depth later on in the book.
נתנו דוגמא, אני ודוד עושים איזה עסקה, כן?
כן.
עושים איזה עסקה, נכון? עושים איזה שני בתים. ולא תנך להביא את המיליון האחרון. אז אמרתי, דוד, אל תדאג, אני כבר יודע בסוף. הנפש, בסיכומו של דבר, זה האמונה. זה השלכה פה על האמונה.
כן, כן. אז יש, אנחנו...
כן, אתה באמת לא יודע מה יקרה.
כן.
אם תקנה את הבניינים או לא. תקנה אותם?
אז יש בביטחון. יש בביטחון, יש שתי
נתיבים.
יש שתי נתיבים, שכל אחד מהם צודק. Each one is true. There's a machlokes between, let's say, the Chazon Ish and the Vilna Gaon. Like, they both have different ways. What are the two ways? The two ways is, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, it says, Asei... I don't know which mission it is. The mission says, I say Ritzain. So there's two different things. There's two different levels of being in a relationship with Hashem. There is one which I like to call God's credit card. Yeah, that in anything that we need, we say, Hashem, I need a credit card, I need to swipe here. And if you believe that Hashem has an unlimited credit card, and you believe and you daven, and like all you have to do is, I just have to daven and Hashem, think, then you have Hashem's credit card. Anything that you daven for, Hashem will give you. That is how some people look at bitachon, that it's a way of getting God's credit card. The way that, and this sefer has got all the footnotes from Lubavitch, the way that Chassidus looks at it, that Lubavitch in particular look at it, is really much, much deeper. It's not that you're getting the king's credit card, that you could go make all your own choices using the king's credit card. Meaning that I tell Hashem, now I need this, daven really hard, and you're going to give me this. Now, it's true that Hashem does often do that for you. If you really believe that Hashem is the source of everything, and when you say, Hashem, I'm coming to you because I know that you are the only source, I need a credit card, and Hashem will give it to you. The other way is to live in the king's palace. Now, in the king's palace, imagine you are a guest in the king's palace. The king says all day long, he's sending all his servants to you to make sure that you've got everything that you need. And, you know, you come to the dinner table, And the king says, oh, you know, I bought you a fabulous gift. I saw that you have an interest in this, that, and the other. I bought you the most phenomenal gift. I bought an amazing gift. And the king unwraps it, and it's suddenly that this guy didn't even know that he wanted. Huh?
Something happened
with
what you say?
It happened every day to all of us.
Give me some example.
Okay. Are you breathing? Rega. Are you breathing now?
I breathe.
When you woke up in the morning, who said you're going to wake up? Who is giving you every single breath right now? Hashem. Which means that before you woke up, you already owe Hashem 24 hours of your day. Why? Because they belong to him. He can choose not to give them to you. Which means that everything that we have, Hashem is giving to us personally. Every single thing. Every shekel that has ever been in your bank account, Hashem gave to you personally. Sometimes he did it because he saw you working there. Sometimes he did it because of this. And sometimes he just did it because he just wanted to. And sometimes he did it because he wanted to punish you. So he gave you money so that you should go make some bad choices and you should beat yourself up. There's all different reasons. But ultimately, every single thing that we have, Hashem is giving to us directly. The question is, we get to decide whether we're just taking Hashem's credit card, whether we say, listen, Hashem, I believe in you. I believe you're capable of anything. I want this meeting to go like this. I want this business deal to work out. Kacha. I want him to offer me X amount. And we basically say to Hashem all the things that we want, and we really daven that they're going to happen. Very nice. So maybe Hashem will say, okay, you know what? Here's the credit card. But living in Hashem's house is when you're mevatel your will to Hashem's will. It's where you just say, Hashem, you know what? Everything is yours. I'm just gonna I'm just gonna try to get to know you better. I'm gonna learn more. I'm gonna try to daven more. I'm just gonna try to get to know you better. I'm still gonna carry on doing some of my worldly things, but even in the worldly things that I do.
You have an example? I give you an
example. Example? You have an example? Back, sir.
קיצר, בשבוע זה היה פסח, ובשבת, אז הייתי אוכל, רק כשר, הייתי אוכל חמישי שבת. אתה משלם 1,000 שקל, אז הייתי שם, אז הייתי צריך שם הרבה כסף, 4,000 שקל אוכל, ועוד הבאתי מהבית, ואתה לא יכול לאכול שם, כאילו, לא כשר, כי אתה מת. אתה אוכל טיפה תורס, אתה מת. וככה, עכשיו, שבת האחרונה, לא היה לי כסף, לשבת האחרונה. לא נשאר לי, כי לא חשבתי שזה ייגמר לי מהר כסף. ישבתי עם הרבה יהודים עשירים שם, ואחד היהודים הארגנטינאים, שבתי דיין מוכר ודיבר, גם לו, תשמע, אני יש לי עוד שבוע, שבת אני לא מגיע לבית כנסת. הוא אומר לי, אל תדאג, אני אביא לך כסף, אבל אתה מבטיח לי, סע להונג קונג, יש שם מקום מאוד יפה, זה, תעשה סרט חיים, אמרתי לו, לא, אני נשאר פה בכנסת. הוא אומר לי, אמרתי לו, אין בעיה, אבל זה לא, אני לא שאני, זה לא כל כך חשוב לי הכסף, אתה נתן לי $1,000. טוב, אני הקראתי את זה, טוב, ואתה אמרתי, נגיע לארץ, אני שכח כסף. אלא יש שם זוג שבאת לפני חודש מחב"ד, שהם כבר 10 שנים מחפשים בית כנסת. וכל מה בשכירות. אמרתי להם, אל תדאגו בהתחלה ביום הראשון, אני אמצא לכם בכנסת, אני אקנה לכם. הגיע סוף החודש. ואני הלכתי אחד הסינים מתווכים, אמרתי שאני רוצה בדירה, כמה שנים פה זה יהיה בשמיים. מצא לי דירה קטנה ב-$20,000. אמרתי, תשמע, אחת הדירה, ואני אמרתי, אני צריך משהו לבית כנסת. חיפש, אחרי יומיים חוזר אליי, מצא את המקום. אמרתי, תשמע, קיבלתי כסף, קח זה 1,000 יורו, תשמור לי את זה. מראה לי את המקום, במקרה אני פוגש מישהו שקוראים לו איציק, מאוד עשיר מרצליה פיתוח, תקשיב, קמתי בכנסת, הבטחתי פה לבן לאנשים, נתתי את ה-$1,000 שנשאר לי באחרונים, וכך היה, קנו את הבכנסת נקנה, לא, אני לא קניתי את הבכנסת, אני רק שמעתי על הנכס, אני כאילו סוג של מתווך הייתי, אבל ככה וככה אני נקנה בכנסת, איציק הזה מרצליה פיתוח, הוא מייבא ציוד לפלסטיק, אבל לתנובה, כל הארגיות, והוא קנה להם את הבכנסת. עכשיו, איך זה עכשיו? שבת לא אכלתי.
זהו,
בא לי הזאתי, אשתו של הרב. אתה בא אלינו השבת, לא צריך כסף. וככה נגמר שיש שבת, ונסעתי לארץ. אז זה פה, אתה אומר, יפה
שם. יפה. בכל מקום,
השם מכוון את הכל.
השם הוא בכל מקום, האלכימיסט. כל הדברים שהוא צריך, אין בכל מקום. השם יש בכל מקום, בכל זמן. כן, זה ממש יפה. תודה.
סיפור אמיתי.
יפה. יפה.
כן, מצווה, בא לידיך. איך אפשר?
זה רק כי אתה בודח. אם אתה היה לך אמונה, אז זה לא היה צורך. תשמע, נתתי לו את הזה, בלי קבל, בלי קורט, וככה $1,000. ובאמת הוא שמר את הנכס, ובאמת אחרי זה נקנה, והכל באותה 4-5 ימים. נשתכו
בך,
יש שמחה,
כאילו עזבת, ושאנשים...
זה הסיפור שלך, כן? בסיפור הזה, יש כמה סיפורים. כל בן אדם בסיפור הזה, יש לו את הסיפור בעצמו. אני רציתי, לכמה שנים, אני רציתי בית הכנסת, ולא מצאתי. היה בן אדם אחד, והוא אמר, אני רוצה רק אוכל לשבת, זהו! והם אמרו, בסדר, אם אתה מוצא, והוא מצא. כן? אתה רואה את זה? זה.
עכשיו, הפעם הראשון שבאתי, חיפשתי אותם בכל מיני מקומות, עכשיו בסין, אתה לא יודע כלום. הכל שם צפוף, אף אחד לא מדבר אנגלית, כולם מפגד שם. אם אתה לא מדבר סינית בדיוק, אתה מבין? הוא אומר לך 4 וזה בכלל לשם. הוא אומר לך 5, זה שם בכלל. אין איזה, לא... רק שהגעתי לשם לראות את הסוף. הוא ואשתו מסננים את האורז.
יפה.
מתחיל לסנן את האורז, דקת אחת.
כמו תימנים, לא?
כן.
תשמע, כמה...
כמו תימנים, נכון?
איך יש לנו...
תאורה?
כן. איך יש לנו מנורות? אז היה בן אדם בשם תומאס אלווה אדיסון. פתאום יום אחד,
הוא...
איזה תומאס? בל? אה? בל? לא, בל היה... בל היה טלפון. תומאס אלווה אדיסון? תומאס אלווה אדיסון, פתאום יום אחד, הוא עושה ככה, ספארק. פתאום, עד הזמן הזה, לא היה דבר חשמל, לא היה דבר כזה, ופתאום היה. למה? למה? אז השם עשה משהו בתוך הראש שלו, בדיוק באותו זמן שהוא עושה את זה וזה, כל מה שהשם רוצה פה בעולם, הוא עושה עם שליח הזה ושליח הזה ושליח הזה, ובכל סיפור, in every story, יש סיבת הסיבות לכל דבר שיש. למה אתה היית בדיוק עכשיו בסין ולא לפני חודש? אם אתה היית חודש מוקדם או חודש מאוחר, לא היה בית הכנסת בשבילה. והשם רוצה שהבית הכנסת זה יהיה ככה, אז הוא אמר לך ללכת שם, והוא אמר להוא ללכת ככה וככה. כל דבר זה... כל דבר זה...
אתה חוזיקה את הסינים האלה. הם כנראה גם קיבלו איזשהו זכות. זה לא סתם. אמונה, פה הייתה אמונה.
כן, אבל למה אתה מיידון?
לא, אבל אמונה?
לא.
ביטחון?
לא, הם עשיתי את זה משהו, זה הכי כיף לדעת. אין להם דאגות לכם. גם מקבל 5 שקל.
בסדר. אתה נולד בסין, יש לך עבודה. אתה נולדת עם עבודה. זה משוואה בגלל כמות ו...
עבודה אינסופית. תשמע, רק שאנחנו מדברים על הסינים, כן? תחשוב על ילד סיני, בן 7, כן? הוא מאז שהוא היה בן 3, הוא קבע כל היום, הוא עושה מכנסיים בתוך פקטרי, כן? He's in a factory, 23 years old, כל יום, מ-9 בבוקר עד 9 בערב, הוא עושה את זה. למה? אם אתה שואל אותו, למה אתה עושה את זה? מה הוא אומר? בן 7, מה הוא אומר? אני צריך לאכול משהו. ואם אני עושה את זה בלילה, אני אוכל. זהו, לא בשביל הכסף, אז...
אתה אומר, החינוך היסודי, זה מה שחשוב.
איך? והוא לא בלחץ כל היום.
מה לא בלחץ?
הבן אדם הזה, זה לא אכפת לו. הוא עושה את זה...
מהבוקר עד הלילה מודי.
מהבוקר עד הערב. זה כל מה שהוא יודע.
אתה פעם היית בסין?
הוא אפילו לא יודע.
אתה 5 דקות בשביל זה משתגיח.
אולי.
5 דקות.
ושמה, כל
הרבה סיבה. אתה יודע, הייתי מסתכל בלילות, הייתי במקום 50 במדברות. אני מסתכל ככה, מתי כל האנשים יוכלו לישון?
מי אמר לך שם?
בשעה אחת בלילה, אחת וחצי, יש לך אלפי אנשים פתאום פאק נעלם. אין אף אחד. נעלמים, בשעה, אמרתי, נשאר כל הלילה. בשעה 5:30, בום, אתה רואה כמות מטורף. אתה לא יכול לצאת, אם אתה יוצא מהמת בלום, זה רק ימינה. עכשיו, אתה רואה אחד שם גבוה, אתה רואה כמה כמויות של אנשים, אלפים, גובה כזה. אתה אומר, למה הוא גבוה? כנראה נולד ככה גבוה. אתה מתקרב, מה הוא? על כיסא, הוא מכוון את האנשים. משהו מטורף, זה עולם מטורף. לא יודע, זה עולם טוב.
אני הייתי בסין,
שייתי בקטן. אוקיי.
שייך.